Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Dion Gordon Podcast. I'm your host, the connoisseur of common sense, the purveyor of authenticity, and the man who calls everything right down the middle, Dion Tyre Gordon. Enough of the bullshit. Let's get to work. Let's talk football. In particular, let's talk about my favorite football team, the San Francisco 49ers. Let's talk about our quarterback situation. Let's talk about Trey Lance. If you listen to national media, if you listen to local Bay Area media, if you listen to about, 70% of the 49er fan base, Trey Lance, 3 years into his NFL career, at the age of 23, should retire from professional football. Trey Lance should submit paperwork to the NFL headquarters in New York City and retire effective immediately. He should no longer even try to play football. Trey Lance shouldn't even spell the word football, shouldn't even hold a football. He should retire. If you listen to national media, local media, 70% of the 49er fan base, Trey Lance is the worst quarterback in the history of pro football. Based off his performance in the first half of Sunday's preseason football game against the Las Vegas Raiders, Trey Lance is a shitty hybrid of Tim Tebow, Rex Grossman, Mark Sanchez, Achilles Smith, David Klingler, Jamarcus Russell's drug addiction, Ryan Leaf's life choices, Joe Theismann's right leg, 1989 Troy Aikman, Johnny Manziel, Paxton Lynch, Kirk Cousins in primetime football games, and Jimmy Garoppolo, a.k.a. Jimmy Wilkes Booth, or Lee Harvey Garoppolo in the fourth quarter of NFL playoff games. If you listen to the media and about 70% of the 49er fan base, you would think, you would be led to believe that Trey Lance is undoubtedly, unequivocally, beyond a shadow of a doubt, the worst quarterback who ever played football. He has no business being on a football field. He's garbage, an unmitigated disaster. If you listen to all the alleged analysts, pundits, experts, people who get paid to talk about football for a living have maligned, besmirched, denigrated, slandered, disrespected Trey Lance like you would not believe. According to these people, this guy should not even be allowed within 500 yards of an NFL football stadium. Trey Lance on Sunday in a preseason football game, the first preseason game of the 2023 season for my beloved San Francisco 49ers. The starting quarterback for that game, Brock Purdy, still rehabbing from elbow surgery. So Trey Lance on Sunday in the preseason game, QB1, started the first half, played the entire first half, 10 of 15. 112 yards, one touchdown pass, albeit a fluky touchdown pass that truthfully should have been picked off. Numbers don't lie, but numbers don't always tell the story. If you go back and look at the tape, which I did, there's a lot to be desired. There's some food left on the table, about four throws that Trey should have at least attempted. But he didn't. And because Trey held on to the football on a number of plays that when you go back and look at the tape, the play was available. There was something there. He should have at least attempted to throw the football. Instead, he held on to the football and got sacked four times. The first throw that some people are saying he should have made, a quick hitch route to the wide receiver, Conley on the outside. The DB is sitting on the routes in my opinion, if Trey had let that go, that's going the other way. That's a pick six. So on that play, at least, I'll give Trey the benefit of a doubt. The other throws that he turned down could have been big plays, and he just didn't make it. Didn't even try. I don't know if he's still slow to process what's going on. I don't know if it's still anticipation that he's lacking, timing, rhythm, all the subtle nuances that come with playing that position. In year three, still appear to be escaping Trey Lance, but let's give this some nuance. Let's give this some context. Trey Lance has not played a football game since breaking his ankle last September, week two against Seattle, about 11 months. So for a quarterback that hasn't played a real football game in 11 months, you'd expect some rust, a little bit of a hesitation, not being 100% up to speed. And in the first quarter of that game on Sunday against the Raiders, that's what you saw. Three consecutive three and outs for the 49er offense. Trey Lance appeared to be bewildered and unsure of what he's doing. It is troublesome. It is concerning to see a quarterback in year three still struggling with processing information, reading coverages, throwing with anticipation. Because in college, especially on the FCS level that Trey played on, typically you got big, wide open windows. Guys are wide ass open. You can afford, you got time in college to sit back and wait for a guy to be wide open. In the NFL, you got tighter windows and you got to anticipate a guy being open. In some cases, you got to throw him open. He's not even open. You got to make an accurate enough throw that now that receiver becomes open. And for Trey, he's still struggling with that. And a lot of people are concerned and worried about that because it's year three for Trey Lance. But Trey Lance's year three is not a typical year three. We're talking about a guy that's only started four career games in the National Football League as a quarterback. We're talking about a guy that really has not played that much football, that much quarterback since 2019. Remember, 2020 was a COVID season, the pandemic, the entire world was in shambles. North Dakota State, Trey Lance's alma mater, gave him a one-game showcase, a fraudulent facade fugazi football game, an exhibition game, basically, to go out there and showcase his skills for the upcoming 2021 NFL Draft. And it was in that 2021 NFL Draft that Trey Lance, quarterback from North Dakota State, was selected with the third pick overall in that draft. And really, that's not even the story. The story is the 49ers traded up from 12 to 3 to take Trey Lance. They traded two first-round draft picks and then swapped from 12 to 3 with Miami, the Miami Dolphins, to select Trey Lance. And when that trade was made, when that deal was done, an unbelievable amount of pressure fell onto the shoulders of Trey Lance. The weight of the world has been on him since 2021. In retrospect, the deal should not have been made. That trade should not have even occurred. When the trade occurred, I said this on this podcast, I was 1,000% in favor of that trade. I wanted the 49ers to show some balls and move up and go take one of these young, dynamic, dual-threat, athletic quarterbacks because in the modern NFL, that's what you need. And by 2021, really, by the end of Super Bowl 54 in 2019, I was done with Jimmy Garoppolo. I wanted nothing more to do with Jimmy Garoppolo. Overrated Trevor Siemian, Jacoby Brissett with privilege, Lee Harvey Garoppolo, Jimmy Wilkes Booth. I wanted nothing more to do with Jimmy Garoppolo being the quarterback of my favorite football team. I wanted a young, dynamic, athletic, dual threat quarterback that can make shit happen. So when that trade was made, when that deal took place, I was in favor of that trade. Unfortunately, it just hasn't worked. It has not panned out the way that I thought it was going to, or the way the organization itself thought it was going to pan out. Year three for Trey is not the usual year three. Four starts. Barely played any quarterback his entire life. We're talking about a guy that has 420 pass attempts since 2019. There were eight different quarterbacks in the NFL last season in 1 year that had over 420 pass attempts. To say that Trey Lance is raw and green and unseasoned and inexperienced is a gross understatement. Trey Lance is about as green as a pepper tree. Greener than baby shit. Greener than a Game Boy screen. Greener than grass. There's a lot of work that needs to be done. And unfortunately for him, time is running out because Brock Purdy already took his job. Brock Purdy came in last season in relief of Jimmy Garoppolo, played well for eight games, eight-game winning streak, led the 49ers all the way to the NFC Championship game. The Niners had a dynamic offense, averaging 30 points a game. Brock Purdy was outstanding. The Attitude Era, the nickname I gave him on this podcast, fun to watch. Charismatic, made shit happen. On time, on schedule, executed the Kyle Shanahan offense the way that Kyle Shanahan wants it to be executed. Three-step drop, back foot hits, ball comes out. On time, on schedule, on rhythm. That's what Kyle wants. Trey Lance is not that kind of quarterback. So that also continues to baffle me as to why he was even taken in the first place. His skill set does not fit with Kyle Shanahan's offense. It just doesn't. Now, in Trey's defense, speaking in a positive way about Trey, something no one else is doing this week, and we'll get to that in a little bit. In Trey's defense, in that preseason football game on Sunday against the Las Vegas Raiders, you saw an improvement in Trey's mechanics and fundamentals and footwork, accuracy, tighter spiral on the football. The improvements that he made, taking ownership and initiative of his career, going outside the 49er organization, much to the dismay and chagrin of Kyle Shanahan, by the way, according to various reports. Trey Lance going outside the 49er organization, working alongside Patrick Mahomes and Patrick Mahomes' throwing coach to flesh out the mechanical and fundamental issues that Trey Lance had in regards to footwork and mechanics and the way he throws a football. Trey Lance took ownership of that and worked on that in the offseason. My biggest reason for supporting Trey, beyond the fact that he's a black quarterback, I'm not going to apologize for that. I'm a black person. I support other black people. And I thought it was cool as shit to see a black quarterback, to see a brother playing quarterback for my favorite football team. Yeah, I'm not going to apologize for that or try to hide my support of that. I'm not going to act like I'm unbiased about Trey Lance because I'm not. I'm rooting for him. I'm rooting for this man. I want him to be awesome. There's nothing more in sports that I want other than the 49ers as a football team to win a Super Bowl, something they have not done since January 29th, 1995. Other than the 49ers winning a Super Bowl, there is nothing else on this earth in regards to sports that I want more than Trey Lance being an awesome NFL quarterback. Half the reason is because he's black. The other half is, by all accounts, he seems like a good dude, a good, hardworking young man. He puts in time. He puts in the work. Last offseason, he took Brandon Ayuk and a group of the younger players on the football team, Danny Gray as well, took a bunch of receivers down to Los Angeles to work out and practice and prepare and get ready for the 2022 NFL football season, because going into last season, it was made clear that Trey was going to be the guy. Trey was going to be QB1 going into last season. Unfortunately, he got hurt in week two and was out for the rest of the season. But once again, he took ownership. He took initiative. He showed leadership as a young guy, 22 years of age last season, now 23. By all accounts, he's wise beyond his years, intelligent, a nice guy, a good dude. You never hear anybody speak in a negative way about the kind of person, about the man that Trey Lance is. And I use that word intentionally because I get sick and tired of people referring to Trey as a kid. He's not a fucking kid. That's a grown adult man. To do the kind of things that he does off the field, outside the organization, taking ownership, initiative, and control and leadership, that's not reflective of a kid. That's a man. That's a grown adult man. He's easy to root for. And that's why I take great offense. I've taken great offense to all the vitriol, the hate, the negativity. Did he play well on Sunday? Kind of, sort of. First quarter, awful. Not going to lie. First quarter was a goddamn disaster. A shit show. He looked like a deer in headlights that first quarter. He looked like he didn't know where he was at or what he was doing. Second quarter, first of all, the play calling got better. Move the launch point. Get him out the pocket. Get him on the move. Dave Lombardi, one of the many Trey detractors that works in the local 49er Bay Area media, all training camp long, has lamented about the fact that Trey misses on all the easy throws, the layups, a screen pass, a hitch, dump it off in the flat to somebody. An easy throw, quote unquote. During that game on Sunday, Trey hit all those throws when they were available to him. In the second quarter, he started gaining momentum. You started to see, okay, there's something there. He's competent. He can do this. I've seen it before. I saw it live with my own two eyes. I was at the Houston Texans game in 2021, a game the 49ers needed to win. Jimmy Garoppolo shit the bed the previous week on a Thursday night football game with an absolutely hideous performance against Tennessee. And because we lost that game on Thursday night during Christmas week, because Jimmy Garoppolo gave every 49er fan a lump of coal in that game, the 49ers found themselves in a must-win situation at home against the lowly Houston Texans. Trey Lance's first ever home starts. I had to be there. I would not miss that for the world. And Trey got off to a slow start in that game. And unfortunately, that's been consistent with who he's been throughout his career and the limited amount of football he's played. He always gets off to a slow start. Ideally, you want your quarterback to hit the ground running, because you find yourself in a game against a good football team and your quarterback gets off to a slow start. Next thing you know, you're down 21-0 going into the second quarter. You're down 24-0, 28-0, 35-7 at halftime, and the game is over. So you want your quarterback to start fast. Trey always has a propensity to start slow, something else he has to work on. But the game on Sunday, the Houston game in 2021, he got better as the game progressed. As the game went along, you saw Trey develop. You saw Trey improve, making better decisions, being more assertive, more accurate, more conviction in what he's doing, more comfortable in what he's doing. You saw that in every game he's played, pretty much. He gets better throughout the game. And you saw that on Sunday. I like that play where he escapes pressure, gets outside the pocket. First of all, that play was designed to go nowhere. I didn't understand the play design or play call. nonsensical, ridiculous, but whatever. Trey was able to salvage it, get outside the pocket, dump it off to Willie Snead, pick up a first down. As the second quarter progressed, he started gaining momentum. The touchdown pass, however, bad throw, bad decision, got lucky, got bailed out. My man Ross Dwelle, able to catch a deflection off a Raider defensive back who could not secure the interception, and Ross Dwelle, able to catch that deflection for a touchdown. Whatever, we'll take it, but not the cleanest. You know, he pretty much threw a pick into a touchdown. It's hard to explain. It's weird, but it's not even like it's not even a touchdown pass that you can be proud of. That game on Sunday was so weird on so many levels. There was some good, there was some bad. There were protection issues. There were guys up front for San Francisco getting manhandled. First and foremost, there were no starters playing in that game. No Kittle, no Debo, no Trent Williams at left tackle, number 71, the best left tackle in pro football. No Christian McCaffrey, no Ayuk, no Juszczyk, no starters. It's Trey out there with a bunch of backups, the second string guys. And, you know, some of those sacks, Trey's fault for holding on to the ball too long. Other plays at the line of scrimmage, complete mayhem, chaos, disarray, anarchy taking place, an absolute destruction of the 49ers' backup offensive linemen on a handful of plays being manhandled by the Raiders' defensive front. I'm watching NFL Network show the Raider broadcast of the game, Rich Gannon, who else, Matt Millen, and whoever their play-by-play guy is. On one hand, they're saying that Trey is not processing fast enough. He's holding on to the ball too long. And then the very next sentence out their mouth was, the 49er offensive line is getting destroyed at the point of attack. Which one is it? A combination of both. A little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. And that's what made that whole performance on Sunday so confusing. And so, in a lot of people's eyes, disappointing, because you feel like he should be farther along in his process. At halftime in the game, Michael Robinson, working for NFL Network, he destroyed Trey Lance. He killed this young man. He killed him. He unleashed on him, flat out said, I've seen enough. Trey can't play. Trey's not good. Year three, you should be better than this. The 49ers wasted those draft picks to get him, and that's been the talking point. That's been the conversation ever since that game on Sunday. Unanimously, across the board, everybody's saying on a national level, the 49ers wasted multiple draft picks to move up and get a project of a quarterback, a guy that needs time. And as I said earlier, he's running out of time. Time is of the essence, but Brock Purdy's already here. And we already saw Brock Purdy be awesome last season and win 8 games and put points on the board and do all the things we were hoping you were going to do, Trey Lance. So now let's get to the criticism, the harshness of it. The way, to me, I'll use this phrase, it seems like a lot of people are gleefully rejoicing in the shortcomings and the failures and overall disappointing play most of the time for Trey Lance. Like I said, in my opinion, some good, some bad. Some things you feel like he should have done better. Some things he did pretty well. Some almost interceptions. Some really nice throws. I thought he, in a two-minute drill, setting up for a field goal at the end of the first half, I thought he had it. Outside of that play where he tried to hit Willie Snead across the middle on a hitch route, ball should have been picked. Raiders sitting back in coverage in Tampa 2, had two guys sitting underneath. Trey does not manipulate the people in the middle of the field. He's staring down his receiver, throws it over the middle. Fortunately, the ball got dropped. But after that, he had a couple of nice throws, a really nice throw over the middle, two nice throws over the middle, in between traffic. Like I said, some good, some bad, but nobody saw the good. Everybody saw the bad. Michael Robinson at halftime killed him. Steve Mariucci tried to kind of say some nice things and boost him up. Former 49ers head coach Steve Mariucci, but it kind of got drowned out. And the overall tone and tenor of NFL Network was, gee, what a disappointing performance for Trey Lance. We expected better. Colin Cowherd, on his awful radio television show, crushed Trey Lance on Monday's show, on Monday's edition of that piece of shit show that Colin Cowherd hosts. The same show in which about a week ago, he listed a number of NFL quarterbacks that he feels like are not good enough to win a Super Bowl. Included on that list, Dwayne Haskins. You know what, Colin? I agree with you. Dwayne Haskins is not good enough to win a Super Bowl. It's going to be incredibly difficult for Dwayne Haskins to win a Super Bowl because Dwayne Haskins is dead. Dwayne Haskins died a year ago. Do some fucking research, Colin. And you would know, you should know this. You get paid to talk about sports for a living. But anyway, I digress. Colin Cowherd, who, oh, by the way, had a daughter about 2 or 3 years ago that was dating Trey Lance. Trey Lance dumped her, let her go, moved on. Colin Cowherd, who is completely unbiased, said that Trey Lance, he's also seen enough. He can't play, he sucks, he's garbage, you can't read a defense, inaccurate, blah, 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 whatever. Can't play, no good. Get him out. The 49ers should cut him. He might not make a roster. He can't play. During the game on Sunday, Matt Maiocco, the longest tenured and most respected voice in 49er Bay Area football media. Matt Maiocco, longtime sports writer in the California Bay Area, the most prominent voice in the California Bay Area sports media, was crushing Trey Lance on Twitter after the first two drives. Two drives into the football game, he's killing Trey Lance on Twitter. Dave Lombardi kills Trey Lance on Twitter every day. Then you got the other most prominent voice of the 49ers, the play-by-play voice, Greg Papa, on KNBR, the flagship station of the San Francisco 49ers, also repeating the talking points and saying, I've seen enough, he can't play, he's a raw project, he's not good, he's never going to be good, he's run out of time. Brandon Allen, the fourth string quarterback on the roster, is a better option than Trey Lance. The quarterback room for this season, according to Greg Papa, the voice of the San Francisco 49ers, he said the quarterback room should be Brock Purdy, Sam Darnold, seeing ghost on Monday Night Football, Sam Darnold, and Brandon Allen. So Trey is either going to be a practice squad, scout team, fourth string emergency quarterback, or traded to a different team. According to Greg Papa, the man who does play-by-play for the 49ers, on the flagship station, is saying this. He's burying Trey Lance. This is almost unprecedented. I've never seen that before. The lead voice of the football team throwing a prominent player on the team under the bus. They invested a lot to get Trey Lance. Two draft picks. They're paying him a lot of money. He's due about $9 million next season. Like, trading him would be problematic. And I would think not even in the best interest of the football team. Let's be clear. This is a Kyle Shanahan football team we're talking about. Quarterbacks are in danger, are in peril. If this was a regular job, somebody would have called OSHA a long time ago because playing quarterback for Kyle Shanahan is a dangerous and unsafe working condition. I'm not trying to speak this into existence. I don't want to wish ill upon Brock Purdy, but more than likely, he's not going to play every game this season. At some point during the season, you're going to need Trey Lance. Am I, as a 49er fan, supposed to believe that Sam Darnold is going to ride in on a white horse and rescue the football team and save the day and keep the season afloat? I'm supposed to believe that a guy on his third team in 5 years, a former top five pick in his own right, Sam Darnold, a turnover machine ever since he was in college at USC, as a lifelong 49er fan, somebody that's been faithful since 1991, I'm supposed to believe that Sam Darnold is going to save the 49ers this season. The lead voice of the 49ers has already given up on Trey Lance after four starts. That's crazy. That is wild that he would even go in public and say this. He would even say that out loud. It's outlandish. It doesn't stop there. You got Marcus Spears and Dan Orlovsky on ESPN saying that this trade to get Trey Lance will go down in history as one of, if not the most, the worst trade in NFL history. The worst draft day trade ever. The Trey Lance trade. I don't know about that. It really hasn't cost the 49ers anything. I mean, we found Brock Purdy last season. We've gone to back-to-back NFC championship games with Trey Lance on the roster. So it really hasn't hurt the football team. Miami got those picks. Miami was one and done in the playoffs last season. I don't care if those picks turned into Bradley Chubb or Tyreek Hill or Jalen Ramsey or whoever. Miami was one and done in the playoffs a year ago. Miami's quarterback, Tua Tagovailoa, has brain damage. How far do you think the Miami Dolphins are going to go this season? Not that far, more than likely. With all due respect, let's be clear, let's be honest. How far are the Miami Dolphins going to go this season with a quarterback that's walking around with functional CTE? What are we even talking about? The worst trade in NFL history? NFL draft history? That's a hyperbolic statement. That's too much. That's showing out for the camera. That's being ridiculous. That's having a shtick on national television. You're playing a role. You don't even mean that. When the trade happened, when the pick was made in 2021, I remember vividly Dan Orlovsky, Marcus Spears gushing about Trey Lance. Oh, now this gives Kyle Shanahan a new weapon, a new toy. The 49ers can play 11-on-11 football now. You got a dual-threat quarterback that can run. It's going to open up the running game. It's going to create all new possibilities for the 49ers. That's what they said. I was watching the draft broadcast. I was watching it live. They said this shit. Now, 2 years later, after four starts and really only playing 3.5 football games, you gave up already? Why? Because that's a popular thing to do. The flavor of the month, the flavor of the week is to shit on Trey Lance. And everybody's going along with it. And then the icing on the cake, the cherry on the sundae, whatever you want to call it. Bill Belichick's former intern, Michael Lombardi, a member of the media and a former general manager in the NFL. A matter of fact, the last time, the last season that Michael Lombardi was a general manager in the National Football League was 2013 for the Cleveland Browns. That season saw the Cleveland Browns finish the year on a 7-game losing streak, culminating in a 4-12 record. Michael Lombardi, Bill Belichick's former intern, goes on his podcast and says, and I quote, "When his mama lifted him from the crib, he just didn't have that quarterback instinct," end quote. Talking about Trey Lance. Why the fuck are you talking about this guy's mother? What does that have to do with football analysis? At what point in the conversation about a football player do we have to talk about his mother? I say all kinds of derogatory fucked up shit about Jimmy Garoppolo. You ain't never heard me one time reference or mention anybody in his family. I ain't never said nothing about Jimmy Garoppolo's mother, ever. Never will. I don't know who she is. She ain't got nothing to do with this. She don't play football. Her son does. I'll talk about him. I'll talk about how he played. I'll evaluate the way he plays football, especially when he played for my favorite football team. Any athlete I don't like, I don't talk about their family. I don't get personal like that. Why is Michael Lombardi talking about Trey Lance's mother? What does that have to do with anything? You don't talk about Zach Wilson like that. You don't talk about Mac Jones like that. And both of those quarterbacks were trash last season. How come that doesn't get brought up? That whole 2021 draft class that Trey was a part of, only good quarterback in that draft class is Trevor Lawrence. Everybody else, Trey is struggling. Justin Fields has struggled. Zach Wilson lost his job to Aaron Rodgers. Mac Jones, a complete joke last season. He sucked. Not 100% his fault. Bill Belichick, of all people, was unorganized last season. The Patriots had no real offensive coordinator. Not 100% Michael McCorkle Jones's fault. But still, I have not been impressed with Mac Jones in the NFL, but everybody was riding his coattails and talking about how great he was the first half of his rookie season. What have we seen from him since? Zach Wilson, Dave Lombardi writes every day on Twitter. I already mentioned this, but I'll say it again. Dave Lombardi is always crushing Trey Lance for not being able to hit the layups, the easy throws, the gimmies. Well, neither can Zach Wilson. But nobody talks about that. Nobody brings that up. Why is Trey the one being singled out by the media? Why are so many people in the media gleefully rejoicing in the failures of Trey Lance? Is it because so many members of the media thought that Kyle Shanahan was going to take Mac Jones at number three in that 2021 draft? Is it because so many people in the media, for what reason I don't understand, are so enamored with Jimmy Garoppolo that they're upset that Trey Lance was drafted to take Jimmy Garoppolo's job? Or could it be racism? It could always be that. The level of vitriol aimed at Trey Lance for a preseason football game, the first half of a preseason football game, to me is baffling. I've never seen this kind of reaction before for a preseason game. You would think Trey went out there and was 4 for 28, 10 yards, 5 picks, couldn't get a first down, couldn't move the football. I know the first 3 drives were 3 and out, but still, he got it together. He started moving the football after that. As I said before, he looks competent every now and then. He's shown flashes. There's something there. There's potential there. And to see the way the media is killing this young man is crazy to me. And I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I think it's bullshit. For someone like Michael Lombardi to say what he said about Trey, get the fuck out of here. Michael Lombardi's biggest contribution to the National Football League was getting coffee for Bill Belichick. The former general manager of the Cleveland Browns is talking crazy about somebody? Are you kidding me? The Cleveland Browns, ever since they came back to the NFL, have been a shit stain on the underwear of the league. And Michael Lombardi was a part of that. What contribution has this guy made to the sport other than running errands, making copies, and getting coffee for Bill Belichick to be on his podcast talking about Trey Lance's mother? Are you fucking kidding me right now? These people are out of pocket, and I don't like it. As far as I'm concerned about Trey Lance, the two biggest things that he is missing are confidence and experience. You can see it. Watch him play. Go back and watch the film of that game from Sunday, and you see a quarterback that lacks confidence. He looks unsure of himself, a broken man out there. He looks like he's thinking about playing football instead of just playing football. It's not second nature. It's not reactionary. It's not easy for him. He's not having fun. He doesn't even look like he's having fun out there. He looks like a broken man playing football. He looks like a guy that knows that he lost his job to Brock Purdy. He was supposed to be the guy for the 49ers, the 3rd pick, all the hype, all the attention. Everybody already said he is going to be the face of the franchise, the future of the 49ers for the next 12, 15 years, give or take. He is going to be Josh Allen 2.0 or Patrick Mahomes 2.0. And because he was not automatically right out the gate Patrick Mahomes, a lot of 49er fans turned their back on him and they gave up on him because he was not immediately awesome. And really, realistically speaking, he was never going to be immediately awesome. The lack of experience, simply not playing that much football in his life, playing football at a lower level of college football, having different things about his game being exposed, not as athletic as people said he was. The lazy comparison was Trey Lance is the next Colin Kaepernick. Why? Biracial quarterback playing for the 49ers. He's nowhere close to being on the same level from an athleticism standpoint as Colin Kaepernick. Nowhere close. Not nearly as fast, not nearly as explosive. Doesn't have the arm talent. He has arm talent. Trey definitely has that. He throws a fast football, but not on the level of Colin Kaepernick. But almost. But if we're talking about running the football and making plays with your legs down the field, being explosive, he's not Colin Kaepernick. As I said, that's a lazy, racist comparison because all you're doing is looking at his skin color and the team he's playing for and saying, okay, he's the next Colin Kaepernick. That's a bullshit comparison. It always was and it always will be. He's not what we thought he was going to be, at least not yet. But for me, I'm not going to give up on him just yet. Only 4 starts. Young guy, 23 years of age, works hard, puts in time and effort. I would have a sour opinion about Trey if he was Ryan Leaf or Jamarcus Russell or Johnny Manziel. What I mean by that is a guy that didn't put in time and work off the field. As I said earlier, Trey does that. Trey is working hard off the field. If he was showing up fat, out of shape, lazy, had a drug habit, alcohol habit, getting in trouble off the field, if he was fucking up left and right, then I'd feel like all this hatred and vitriol was warranted. But he's not doing that. He's a good dude. He's a good guy. He's working hard. He gets an A for effort. And you know what? I'll commend Trey for his professionalism and the way he's handling all this, because Trey could very easily be combative against the media. He could easily be outspoken. He could easily pout and whine and cry and go into a shell and hibernate. He could do all those things with all the criticism he's getting and losing his job. 70% of the fan base, in my rough estimation, already has given up on him. He could easily be like, fuck all this and fuck everybody. I'm just going to show up and get paid and mind my own business. I don't care what y'all do. Go ahead and start Brock Purdy. Start Sam Darnold. I don't care. As long as the check clears, I don't give a fuck. He could easily be that way, but he's not. And I commend that and I respect that. The maturity that he's shown, I think it's awesome. I think he's an awesome guy. Never met him before. Just looking from the outside in, I'm like, you know, this guy's a good dude, an awesome guy. And I root for him for a number of reasons. I want Trey, when he gets the opportunity, when it comes around again, to turn it around and play outstanding football. But it comes back to the confidence and the experience. He simply has not played that much quarterback in his life. Brock Purdy has all that. Brock Purdy has confidence. Brock Purdy has experience. 4-year starter at Iowa State. FBS level, better competition, Big 12. Trey, 2.5, 2-year starter, 1.5, whatever. FCS level, North Dakota State, weaker competition, doesn't have that confidence. Playing at North Dakota State, he was by far and away easily the best player on the field, the biggest, strongest, fastest guy on the field. Now in the NFL, you're just athletically, you're just another guy. You can't run people over anymore. And you're not running away from people either. There was a play in that game. He could have made a first down on a 4th-and-1. RPO, run pass option play, fourth and one. He gives the ball to Jordan Mason. Instead of keeping it himself, where I felt like that was the correct play and he could have picked up a first down, but I'm also thinking, is he thinking about the injury he got last season where he got hurt, where he broke his ankle on a similar play, on an RPO, and he kept the ball and got tackled, got folded up, guys rolled up on the back of his leg, and he got hurt and taken off in a cart, season over. Two surgeries, by the way. Two ankle surgeries for Trey Lance. Was rust a factor last Sunday? His first game in 11 months. These are legitimate questions that nobody's really asked. Everybody just threw him under the bus and said, fuck this dude. He's garbage. He's a bust. He can't play. He's no good. And people have already given up on him. Four starts? I can't say that enough. Everybody gave up on him after four starts. Trey, I'm rooting for you. I don't know what else to say other than maybe San Francisco is just not the right place for you. Maybe Washington, Atlanta, Tampa. I'm just thinking about teams that need a young quarterback. Maybe somewhere else under the radar you can grow and develop. Think about the Golden State Warriors. Jordan Poole, Kuminga, James Wiseman, kind of similar situations. It kind of mirror each other, especially Wiseman, a guy taken, I think, second overall, top five pick. And the thought process was, okay, we're going to take this young guy, add him to the mix of our established veteran players, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green. We're going to bring this young guy in. He's going to learn and develop and eventually flourish. And in a couple of years, he's going to be the face of the franchise. It didn't work that way. It didn't happen. And James Wiseman got traded to the Detroit Pistons. And Jordan Poole, kind of the same thing. Not a lottery pick, but still, people thought he was going to be great. And he showed flashes during that championship run in 2022 for Golden State. But then, you know, got knocked the fuck out by Draymond Green. Had a bad season last year. He was terrible throughout the entire season, especially the playoffs for Golden State. Now he's in Washington. The point is, a young, promising player playing for a Bay Area sports team and being surrounded by great veteran players, and it just didn't work out. And they had to go somewhere else. And only time will tell if Jordan Poole and James Wiseman are going to be great NBA basketball players, the same way only time is going to tell if Trey Lance is going to be a great NFL quarterback. The talent is there. The potential was there. The circumstance is all fucked up. The circumstance is all wrong. We're talking about a guy being drafted to take the place of a popular quarterback, regardless of what people like me say about Jimmy Garoppolo. He has a lot of supporters, a lot of people like him. And you're bringing in Trey Lance to take his job, and it didn't work out, and it hasn't worked out. And then Brock Purdy comes along, he's better than Trey Lance. Let's call it what it is. I don't think it's going to work in San Francisco. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong, because as I said earlier, more than likely we're going to need him at some point this season. I don't believe in Sam Darnold. I certainly don't believe in Brandon Allen. You fucking kidding me? Greg Papa, get the fuck out of here. We're going to need Trey at some point this season. And all I can say for Trey is keep your head down. Keep working hard. Behind the scenes, off camera, away from everybody else. Put the time in. Work hard. And when your time comes back around, go out there and show people who you are and what you are capable of and why you were that third overall pick in the draft. I'll finish up by saying this. I found it disgusting and despicable and disgraceful. I found it very annoying and off-putting. The lack of support by Trey's own teammates. Another reason why I say it might not work in San Francisco. They don't appear to have his back. You got somebody like Michael Lombardi saying that he doesn't have the instincts. When his mother picked him up out the crib, he didn't have the instincts. That's a backhanded way. That's a passive-aggressive way of saying your black ass ain't smart enough to play quarterback. That's going down the rabbit hole of the stereotypes and the racist tropes and the stigma about a black quarterback and saying you're not smart enough. You don't have the instincts. You're not a leader of men. You can't be the face of the franchise. Somebody that looks like you can't do this. Raheem Mostert, a former 49er, currently playing for the Miami Dolphins, former teammate of Trey Lance, spoke up on his behalf on Twitter, came to his defense. I thought that was great. I thought that was awesome. All right, salute to Raheem Mostert for doing that. I found it odd, however, that nobody currently on the 49er roster came to Trey Lance's defense. Really, this team always talks about brotherhood, being unified, being on the same page, veteran leadership, locker room guys like Trent Williams and George Kittle and Deebo Samuel, Fred Warner. You know, they got great leadership on the 49ers. How come none of those guys came to Trey Lance's defense? How come none of those guys spoke up on social media or to the regular media? His own coach, Kyle Shanahan, and I'll give credit to Jack Hammer, another Bay Area reporter, Bay Area sports news guy, whatever. He asked a question point blank to Kyle Shanahan. What is your response to the national media being so harsh and being so critical about Trey? And Kyle kind of shrugged his shoulders and said, you know, that goes with the territory of being the third overall pick. He said that. He said that goes with the territory of being selected that high in the NFL draft. Kyle Shanahan, that's a layup. That's putting the ball on the tee. All you got to do is swing the bat. That's a real easy opportunity to back up your quarterback, to say, you know what, I don't like that shit either. It bothers me. It gets under my skin. I don't like it. It rubs me the wrong way to see and to hear people talk about my quarterback in that fashion. That's all you had to say. But nah, he just says, you know, that goes with the territory. Nah, that's bullshit. It kind of does, but at the same time, like, back up your guy. Support him. Let him know you're in his corner. Going back to what I said earlier, the confidence, the experience, but especially the confidence. Like, we can build confidence by publicly supporting him and backing him up. You mean to tell me a guy on a different football team, a former teammate, has no problem coming to Trey's defense and backing him up publicly and showing support for him, but nobody currently in the same locker room as him can back him up? If I'm Trey, I feel a certain way about that. I'm sorry. Sorry, not sorry. I feel highly irritated. If I'm Trey Lance, that shit would not sit well with me. Take it a step further, I'd confront some motherfuckers in the locker room and say, what's up, man? You're not going to have my back? You're not going to support me in this? I thought we were all in this together. One team, one fight. Brotherhood, unity, all of us together in lockstep, stand on one accord, on one page. You guys can't back me up. You got some fucking failed GM, a guy that accomplished nothing in the NFL besides being Bill Belichick's lackey. You got some douchebag on a podcast trashing me, talking about my mother, and you can't support me? If I'm Trey, like I said, I got to confront some folks about that. I got to get up in somebody's face. I don't care who you are. George Kittle, Trent Williams, I don't care who you are. I'm getting up in somebody's face. Deebo, Fred Warner, hey, what's up, man? You got to support your teammate. That's your guy. Same uniform, same locker room. We're all in this together. At least that's the way it should be. I found that alarming for Raheem Mostert to publicly support Trey Lance, despite the fact that he doesn't even play for the 49ers anymore. He's in Miami, and he supported Trey Lance. And Kyle Shanahan, an easy opportunity right there in front of you. Support your guy. Back him up. The writing, to me, the writing's on the wall. They don't even support him. They don't even like him. They don't say anything complimentary about him. If Michael Lombardi had said something about Brock Purdy, trust and believe, all those guys would have stood up on the behalf of Brock Purdy, in defense of Brock Purdy. Or if Garoppolo was still here, George Kittle definitely would have said something in defense of Garoppolo. McCaffrey, all these guys, Juszczyk, everybody on the team collectively would have said something in defense of Garoppolo or Purdy. But Trey, it just, to me, it just never seemed like the locker room embraced him and gravitated towards him. It just never felt that way. It always felt like Trey's an outsider, and people, even in his own locker room, just didn't like him. And that's unfortunate. And that, I'll say it again, maybe Trey should go somewhere else. He'd be better off in a different uniform and a different locker room, because in San Francisco, I'm not sure what Trey Lance has. And that's really unfortunate. That's really fucked up. That bothered me. When I heard that, when I saw the lack of support from his own teammates, I thought that was grade A complete bullshit. And fuck Michael Lombardi. I can't say that enough. Fuck this dude. That's just trash. Hopefully things get better for Trey. Hopefully he finds some confidence and is able to turn things around. Only time will tell. But with all of that being said, that concludes this episode of the Dion Gordon Podcast. Eternally grateful, always humble, and very much appreciative. Trey Lance, all I can say to you, my brother, is tread lightly like a woodpecker with a headache. Picture me rolling. I'm out.